Hey, dear listener, do you enjoy listening to us ramble incoherently about Canadian politics and history? Boy, do we have a special fucking treat for you. We've got our first ever official live show at a bar.
It's at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street in Halifax on Sunday, May the 26th at 8 p.m. And if you go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, if you look at the banner at the top, it will take you to the tickets so that you can book a ticket and come and spend some quality time. It is going to be a very intimate affair. There are like only about 50 tickets available.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to drink a lot. We're going to quiz. Reese is going to quiz me at the end, but he's also going to quiz the audience and see if they know more than I do. And any alcohol you buy, Reese and I, we promise to drink it, no matter how much it is. If you want to hold our hair while we barf in the plants outside of the bar, we'll do that for you.
So go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, click the banner at the top, and on Sunday, May the 26th at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street, we will see you there.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at UH1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Dear listener, I'm sorry. This is Jesse. I rant about my time as a tourist being sold and punched and not punched. Well, punched in the arm in Italy and constantly being sold for about 10 minutes at the beginning of this episode. You can skip ahead if you don't want to hear my rant. I'm sorry in advance.
Canadian politics is boring, juicy bits.
Canadian politics is boring, juicy bits.
Hello and welcome to Canadian Politics is Boring. This is the episode. This is the juicy bits, which is like the normal show, but much shorter and much more reactive to the news.
Oh boy, why are you just? Yeah. It's like just. I love the fact that you're in the studio all by yourself. You look so tiny. It's like the camera's a really wide angle lens. It's just like a very lonesome.
The LED lights are still turned purple from the last clients who were in here. They say brand colors.
Looks great. You look like
and I just didn't change
you look like a Twitch streamer, man. It's awesome.
Thanks. There are three other cameras in this room and I just didn't turn them on. I just turned the wide on. So
okay.
Update. Italy Jesse. What's going on? Everyone loves the Italy Jesse.
Fucking hell. I got a lot to say about this. It's driving me to drink. Today is the last day I have for filing my corporate taxes, which is super fun. And I've been spending the past hour and a half just looking for software, which exists. But like, God, I know, I don't want to talk about taxes. I need wine. And then I'm going to do my taxes. I'm going to drink wine.
Do you know what? Nothing excites.
Nothing what?
Nothing excites our listeners like talking about taxation software.
That's a good point. Good. Let me drink some wine and I'll talk about Italy.
Yeah. Jesse is drinking a lot of wine. he went to Italy mainly to the experience he's going for, this spiritual journey to Italy is mainly to go, what is it like to be a European alcoholic?
Essentially.
And that's the life he's living.
Yep. It's been fun. Nothing but pizza and wine. For days on end. I have thoughts on Italy. I really do. And I've been in Italy for over a month and a half. Naples is the worst. I can't stand the city. It's so busy, noisy, filthy, dirty. It's just...
And
it's
like so the crowded. Tourism tagline, Naples, it's the worst.
It's the worst. But like, okay, I don't know what percentage of people in Italy are not from Italy, are tourists, but I'm betting that it's high. I'm willing to wager it's a high, high number because, like, I've been here for a long time. Now, certain cities are different. A lot of cities are different. But, like, the big ones, Milan, Naples, Palermo, maybe Palermo less so. They feel to me that they're built, their infrastructure is designed almost entirely around selling shit to tourists. And I feel like the average Italian has been inundated with so many fucking tourists in their neighborhood that they've all developed this sort of mentality of, we must be selling to tourists all the fucking time. Not only that, but they fuck with us. Okay. Like, I swear to God, I'm saying Italian words correctly. Okay. And they're just pretending to not understand me all the time. Il conto, the bill, il conto. They're like, what? Il conto. What? Qua? Il conto. Oh, the il conto. I'm like, yeah, what the fuck do you think? What was I saying? I was saying exactly what you just said. This happens constantly. Constantly.
Do you know what? All I can think is, wow, Jesse, what a wonderful experience you're having. You're really grown as a person.
Let me give you an example. I went to a cute little island off the coast of Naples, Capri. Okay, beautiful, beautiful island. I had some delicious...
Also the name of a great British car in the 70s.
And a drink.
The Ford Capri. Yeah.
So I went there. It was a beautiful little island. Met a gorgeous Ukrainian girl who helped give me directions. I had some delicious pizza. Had a great time. Now, this is where I'm talking about with the whole, like, fucking with tourists thing, okay? I'm convinced this is a thing. I'm convinced this is, like, a cultural thing that people just do. So there was a cable car that went up the mountain. And at the bottom, you go to the bus station where they sell tickets. And me and Oliver, a man from, I forget where, the UK somewhere, we both asked the ticket agent, how do we get to the cable car? And, like, you take a bus. Okay, how much is the bus? This is how much the bus is. You pay me for the bus, and there you go. The bus is over there. Great, thanks. Paid for the ticket. Went to the bus. I asked the bus driver, hey, is this the bus to the cable car? Yes, it is. Great. We drives all the way up to the top of the mountain to another city center. We about to get off the bus. Ask the bus driver again, where is the cable car? He points. It's over there. Great. Thank you so much. Oliver and I go over. We walk to the cable car where there's someone waiting there to tell us, oh, we're sorry, the cable car does not run during the winter times. Now, do you fucking think on this small island that the ticket office and the bus driver didn't know that?
So there was Bristol Zoo in the UK. We used to go there all the time. And when he went there, there was a little hut on the entrance on the way in. So we'd go there, and then what would happen is there'd be a guy sat in this hut, little old man. And you'd pay him, like, I don't know, maybe like £1.50 or £2. It wasn't a lot of money.
Right.
It was a couple of quid to go in there and to park. Turns out that he'd been there for 25 years. He was nothing to do with the zoo. The zoo assumed that he was something to do with that, the government. The government assumed he was something to do with the zoo. He had nothing to do with any of them. He just turned up one day with a hat and started charging people to park there and got away with it for 25 years.
I've heard of this story before, and I love it so much.
I remember paying him. I remember getting a ticket off him and putting him in the car. None of this was official. You just had the balls to go, well, no one questions a hat and a high-vis jacket.
That's so fucking funny.
So I love that. There was a story. So anyway, I'm having fun in this conversation, but we did have a purpose.
Okay, fine. Well, you wanted to know about Italy.
Tell me about the top of the thing that you said we're about to talk about. The top.
Oh, just to Capri. If you want to walk down Capri Island from the top city, like there's a bunch of different centers, and the top of the mountain there's a center with lots of stuff to buy, of course. And if you want to walk down, you can, according to Google, and took one path, and oh no, it's locked off. It's locked, like the chain, like there's a locked gate. This was a public path, but it's now locked with a padlock. Oh, don't worry, there's a second one. You go over to the second one, also locked with a chain and padlock. These are the ways to walk down the island, unless you want to walk down the only main road, which has no sidewalks and large trucks coming right up and down the whole thing. So they've blocked off the public access for walking back down the mountain for no discernible reason whatsoever. And the only way to get back down, you guessed it, by another fucking bus. It's, oh God. Anyway.
They saw you coming a mile off.
Everybody. It's just nonstop selling. It's constant.
It's called the tourism industry.
I hate being a part of it.
It's a bit more in your face. But in other parts of the world, it's much more vital to the economy. So people are much more like aggressively pushing.
They aggressively, walk by a restaurant, they have people who they hired to stand outside and aggressively get in your face. Like, hey, you want food? Are you food and drink? As if I was like new to being a human. and didn't know what to do when I'm suddenly feeling the sensation of hunger and thirst. What the fuck do I do? Oh my God. Yes, I am hungry and thirsty. Thank you. Do you have the solution for me, sir? Like, fucking.
You should be like, tell me about this food and this drink.
I had a girl.
I'm new here. What is food?
Seriously. I was walking last night through some bars and alleyways. And this man like steps in front of me to prevent me from moving further, which I took as a sign of like, oh, is this a private event? Can I not move past you at all? Sorry. No. He was just trying to sell me food and drink. He wouldn't let me fucking pass. And then I finally figured it out. I'm like, no, I'm leaving. And I left. And this other woman punched me in the fucking arm and then asked me if I wanted a shot. I'm like, no, what are you doing? Ugh. I'm sick of it. I'm honestly really sick of it. And like, it's my fault for being a fucking tourist. Like they're probably so sick to death of the tourists that this is their mentality. Like just fuck with them all. And I can't blame them if there's this many of us.
Yeah. You're there to be exploited. That's why you're there. That's why you're there.
Yes, we are. Right.
And you know what? The whole settlement. I remember I was on a years ago, me and my wife were on holidays in Greece. Well, before we were married, I think we were like 19 at the time. We went to Greece when we were just sat on the beach. And what happens is people come and sell to you while you sunbathe.
Unreal. Yeah. No, I fucking.
I remember I bought a watermelon and a pirated copy of Batman Begins. It was great.
We went to the beach and there was a man. That's enough. There was like seven different people stretched in on the beach trying to sell you blankets for €5. And we'd say no. And they just keep repeating the price. €5, €5. And we say no. €5, €5, €5. And finally I cracked.
He's trying to get you to haggle with
him. I guess. But like at finally I just cracked.
He's not just saying the number. He wants you to start going €1. And you'll go €4.
Yeah, I didn't know that. That's interesting.
He's not stuck on a loop.
Fucked with him a little bit. He kept saying €5, €5, €5. And I turned to him, I'm like, €5? And he's like, yes. I'm like, no.
Next time goes six.
I'm fucking hearing you.
Six. No, seven. €10. 10. 12. Anyway.
Okay. This is your fault for asking me about my time in Italy. You were expecting me to just sag up and just eating pizza and drinking.
Sorry, listeners, if you don't find Jesse's adventure in Italy as entertaining as I do. this is a follow-up, Juicy Bits, to our last one, Pierre Polyev's Porn Passport Paradox, which did seem to get a lot of attention and a lot of interest about it. And the reason I wanted to talk about this is that we had an email from a listener called Darren. I won't say his last name because okay. I asked him if he mind us mentioning him and he didn't reply.
I saw that.
So yeah. I'll just do the first name.
Okay.
Yeah. D-Dog, I like to call
D-Dog,
it. D-Dog,
yeah. D-Dog Daddy. D-Dog.
He said, just a quick note, I think you're missing the main point about the porn passport. The biggest problem with having a porn passport is the creation of a government ID. Not only that, but a government ID that can conceivably be used anywhere on the internet. It could easily snowball into a requirement to access anything on the internet with the creation of a government tracking ID. It's a short step to a surveillance state. Thanks, Darren. So, I mean, Darren made a good point. So,
yeah, that's a good point.
It's a really good point. And so I try to find an example of a government that was doing this.
Okay.
And I know Canada hasn't done this, but this is like where this is the conclusion it comes to if a government decides they want to push real government ID and online usage to it, because it's extreme, I guess. And China is probably the global leader in this. They have, and I hate this name, it's called the Great Firewall, or also known as the Golden Shield Project. And it's essentially them trying to censor and control the internet in China and how people use it.
Okay. But I mean, so, like that's totally different, though. China's completely different from Canada. They're enclosed. They are, like, as you said, they are a, what did you call them? A
authoritarian regime.
No, you mentioned it before. The fact that they're, like, eyeing everybody, spying on everybody. What's the term for that?
Yes, they are. Yes, yeah. Well, and that's it. So what happened was, I think in the early 2000s, some professor said, he talked about they should ban anyone from being anonymous online. That's when it kind of all started. And then they claimed it was to protect like intellectual rights and everything. So in 2003, you had to use a government ID and register to use internet cafes. Back when they were still a thing.
Interesting.
Remember before you had the internet on your phone, you had to go into an internet cafe.
I do.
And drink a coffee and try not to tip it on a keyboard. Yep. Remember that?
Yeah. Gaming cafes.
In 2004.
As well.
Yeah. There we go. Yeah, exactly. In 2004, they also then applied that to emails.
This is in China you're talking about?
This is in China, yeah. So they applied it to emails. And then it, also in 2004, websites. If you wanted to kind of like set up a website, you had like there was a real name in government ID system. Amazing. So you could know who. And you couldn't like hide behind a network of new pseudonyms and companies and stuff. And then by 2013, China's internet police was 2 million members strong.
Wow. I don't know if I mentioned this before. I don't think I did. I was at a hostel back in Venice, and there was a guy from China there. I didn't meet him. This was talked to me by one of my bunk mates. I forget where he was from, and he was talking to him, and the guy was on vacationing from China is very difficult, from what I've been told. What are you doing? You're on your phone.
I'm looking at some more stats.
This is going on TikTok.
No, I'm just looking at some more stats. I was updating this. I was sending myself a file.
Okay.
Shut your face. I'm listening to you.
Okay. So but there's no YouTube in China. You can't access it at all. And apparently leaving the country is very, very difficult. And so what a lot of Chinese people will do is they'll go from one place in China to another place in China. But due to the way that flights are rerouted, sometimes it will temporarily leave China and go for a layover for a few hours at another airport in another country. And they'll have a few hours to go and explore that country before they have to get back on the flight to go back into China. Yes.
I only have 2 hours to watch everything Mr. Beast has ever done.
No, not YouTube, but like just to go and explore that country. So this guy, this I don't know. Okay. I don't think this guy from China was doing this because he was staying in a hostel in Venice. And that would have been very difficult if he only had a few hours. So for whatever reason, he left. But like, he'd never heard of YouTube. And so the guy not only showed him the wonder that is YouTube, and it is a marvel if you really think about it, he showed him a video about how China's government was restricting what people in China saw from the rest of the world, which he didn't know was happening. And so first he was shown YouTube, and then he was shown that video in YouTube, and his eyes just widened, and he's like, oh my God, I need to process this. I need a moment for myself.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, China is like an extreme example, but at the same time, like they've created a pathway or a model of how you can implement, they've been doing it for 20 years, like how you can implement online control with real IDs. And I'm not saying that like that's what's going to happen in Canada, but it is possible, is my point. And the point that Darren was raising is that, first of all, it'll be porn. Then what's next? You know,
it's the whole, it's not, how do I put this? There's two ways of looking at it, which is, do you think it's likely it'll happen versus, do they have the ability to do it if they want to? It's like giving a 3-year-old a butcher knife. Is the chance that he's going to break into your bedroom in the middle of the night and stab you in your sleep high? No, it's very low. Do you think it's a good idea to give the kid a butcher knife in the first place? Probably not. You know, so like I don't think that Canada will suddenly like go down a very, very, very quick steep slope to China if that happens. But do we want to give them that possibility in the first place?
Yeah. And also I think like, China's intention is to censor and control. You know, it's obvious that they're trying to censor and control. That might not be the government's intention here, but you look at the Patriot Act, like, you know, allowing the CIA and everyone to like monitor people's online use covertly for looking for terrorism. You know, those powers were given, but then you look at how people are looking at instant messages to track women discussing having abortions now that they've made abortion illegal, and then using their Facebook messages with their own parents and, you know, sister or friends trying to plan crossing state lines to, you know, use that against them and take them to court for like looking for an abortion. Like that, you can see how America, where that kind of like internet, you know, those kind of online kind of interactions have been, you know, used to criminalize people in a way that most people wouldn't think is fair. Doesn't mean it's not possible in Canada on those terms either.
No.
You think so? You know, if you asked yourself 10 years ago, would someone like Polyev ever have a shot at being prime minister, you'd probably say no.
Honestly, you shouldn't have passports to enter into a porn site. It should have more captchas with the whole, like, instead of like pick out a bus or pick out a bike, but like pick out Polyev and just have like a bunch of different faces of different prime ministers, and one of them is Polyev. If you're too, exactly. if you're too young, yeah, you're yeah. not going to know who the fuck he is, you know, or care.
No, exactly.
And I suppose you have Google, exactly, you could do that, but like, if you're smart enough to Google.
Exactly. But anyway, my point, I guess, is that Darren made a good point. There is a potential of a slippery slope, and I think is worth something thinking about and looking at how other governments have done it. It's an interesting thing to look at. I do find it weird that if Trudeau was doing this,
yeah,
and they talk about, you know, all him, people call him a authoritarian communist and all that kind of palaver, then if he was doing it, it would, and they were attacking him for it, that feels like that's the right way, the position for this to be, for like Trudeau trying to bring in IDs and for Polyev to go, no, freedom. I find it totally reversed in this situation. It's kind of weird.
It's not weird at all. It's politics, man. This is what they do. It's a giant fucking game, and the majority of people still don't see that. It's like people who think wrestling is real. Okay,
kayfabe. Is it kayfabe? Is that what it's called?
I don't know. But like, you know, when like kayfabe. People genuinely believe that what they watch during a WWE event is real, not scripted.
Those people are children, or
right? Well, that's how people with a
BA honors degree in coloring in.
That's how people regard our politicians, as if they actually mean what they say, as if they actually do have our best interest at heart, as if they're not doing this just for the money and the power. Like, they believe this. They actually believe it. You know, it's all a game, man. It's none of it matters. None of it. Okay? It's all just a back.
Oh, in conclusion, nothing matters. So it's fine. Do you know what? Remember like being in school and fake IDs were a big thing. You can make a lot of money if you're good at making fake IDs.
I've never came across that.
I feel like there'll be a whole new industry with fake IDs.
Oh, that's smart. I like that. Yeah. Okay. So, dear listener,
let's get into the illegal fake government fake ID game.
If you, dear listener, if you have a juicy hot take on this porn passport from Polyev, leave us a SpeakPipe. SpeakPipe.com/CanadianPoliticsIsBoring. It's like a voicemail. You don't have to sign up for anything. You don't have to leave an email. You don't have to leave your name. You can do it in 5 seconds. Super fun. We'll put it on the show. Okay, that's it. That's what I was
going to do. I got another suggestion. I'll put Pierre Polyev's email address in the show notes. And if you're going to look at porn, just take a selfie with your genitals and view and email it to him so he knows.
Please tell me you have his actual email address. Is that a thing? There's no way that goes to him.
I'm sure there's like a leader at conservativeparty.ca or something, probably. I'll find it.
Okay, perfect.
If you're going to masturbate, just keep him in the loop because he's worried. Maybe hold a piece of cardboard that says, I am not a child or something.
I love this idea, Reese. This is great. This is why you should be running for politics, honestly. You have all the good ideas.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, this is a very long.
Maybe hold like that sign in one hand and a can of beer in the other so he knows you're definitely 18. Or over. So anyway. Right, bye, everyone.
Bye, everybody. Fucking hell.
Canadian politics is boring, juicy bits.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, dear listener, do you enjoy listening to us ramble incoherently about Canadian politics and history? Boy, do we have a special fucking treat for you. We've got our first ever official live show at a bar.
It's at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street in Halifax on Sunday, May the 26th at 8 p.m. And if you go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, if you look at the banner at the top, it will take you to the tickets so that you can book a ticket and come and spend some quality time. It is going to be a very intimate affair. There are like only about 50 tickets available.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to drink a lot. We're going to quiz. Reese is going to quiz me at the end, but he's also going to quiz the audience and see if they know more than I do. And any alcohol you buy, Reese and I, we promise to drink it, no matter how much it is. If you want to hold our hair while we barf in the plants outside of the bar, we'll do that for you.
So go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, click the banner at the top, and on Sunday, May the 26th, at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street, we will see you there.